Luke chapter 14, verse 25. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That phrase is used three times in these verses that I read to you tonight, that unless you fulfill the call and the commission to discipleship, you can't be my disciple if you don't meet these conditions. And you notice at the beginning here that there's a great crowd, great multitudes of people that are following the Lord. Jesus drew crowds of people. So great multitudes of people would follow him. Many of them wanting to be healed. Many of them wanting to hear what he had to say. Great crowds of people. But this is the beginning when Jesus begins to deal with them. And I guess we would say he begins to thin out the crowds just a little bit. When he begins to give to them the call to discipleship. You see, a disciple is not one of the 12. The 12 were called disciples. The 12 were called apostles. So maybe we need to take a moment just to kind of refresh what we're talking about when we talk about what is a believer, what is a disciple, and what is an apostle. Of course, a believer is someone who's put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, and they've been born again. They've been truly saved. That's a believer. But then the next level is the level of discipleship. And you can be a believer and not a disciple. It's quite possible to be a believer but not a disciple. Because a disciple is someone that is a student. He is a pupil. He is a learner. A disciple, the word literally means someone that follows along, that takes heed to the instructor, the teacher. And so they were first called disciples. Jesus referred to them as his disciples because they were called of God, and he was teaching them and instructing them in the principles of the kingdom of God. So you can be a believer and not be a disciple. You can be a disciple and not be an apostle. They were later called apostles. An apostle is someone who takes what they've heard and they've learned, and they take it and they go and they share the message. They give the message. So those that were here with us a few weeks ago and that are here from time to time, missionaries probably would be the closest thing in our modern day to what an apostle is. He hears and he just takes the message and he travels with it and he takes it to whosoever will believe. Now, why is that all that important for us to have a little review on something like that? Well, the reality is this. A lot of people are believers and they are a part of the group. They're part of the crowd, but they are not really disciples. they're not really disciples. Because three times here, Jesus said, here's a condition for discipleship. If you don't do it, you can't be my disciple. You don't qualify to enroll in this training, this schooling to learn of me unless you are willing to do what I am asking you to do. So an apostle is somebody that is sent forth. The word literally means to be sent. Sent forth with the gospel, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this case, Jesus was thinning out the crowds. Some of the multitudes began to scatter when he began to teach them and tell them, if you're going to be my disciple, this is what it's going to require. A lot of people like religion, they like church, they like Christianity, and they like it for all that it can provide for them. I can pray and get my needs met. I can have I can have friends at church, and it maybe has a social aspect to it. And a lot of reasons why that people attend church are a part of a church. But the question tonight is this: are you really a disciple of Jesus? Are you really? And he starts off here in verse 26 by saying, if any man's going to come after me, if he's really going to be my disciple, he's going to have to hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, and his own life. That's pretty tough. That's really tough. Whenever Jesus gave such a strong message to them, what he was just saying to them was that, I want you to love me more than you do anyone or anything. I want to be first. I want your love for me compared to your love for anyone else, your family or your father or your mother, whoever it might be. I want your love for me to be so strong and so intense, and there to be such a level of commitment to me that it, when you compare it, it seems almost like so different that it's almost like hate. Is so different, the level of commitment that we have. This is a really strong message, because we all love our families. We all love ourselves. We're all committed to our families, and we're pretty well committed to ourselves and what's important to us. But Jesus was thinning the crowd out. Do you remember whenever Gideon brought that group of 32,000 volunteers to go up against the Midianites? The Bible says that he thinned out the crowd. The Lord had instructed him. First, there was a great number that left because they just had the opportunity to leave. And then he took them down to a stream, down to a stream of water, and instructed them. It was only those who were the most alert, that they would reach down with their hand and bring the water up to their mouth. There was only 300 of them that did that. And the Lord said to Gideon, Gideon, that's really all you need, is that 300, if you will. So the Lord thinned out the crowd of the uncommitted, the half-hearted. And those that were alert and committed and obedient to God, those were the ones, even though there was only 300. You know, the Lord can get a lot done with a few dedicated people. Amen. The Lord can accomplish a whole lot with just a few that are truly committed to him, that are really obedient unto his voice. Never limit. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. The Lord can use you and me on a Wednesday night with 30 people. And he can do something with a group like this, pour his spirit out upon us, work in our lives, speak to our hearts, ignite a flame of revival in us, and cause us to go forth accomplishing some things for the glory of God. Amen. I need to hear all 30 of you say amen, because it's so quiet in here tonight. Amen. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. He can, and sometimes that's exactly the way that he wants to. Jesus is thinning the crowd out because he knew that there were half-hearted people in that crowd. They were just following along for a free meal. They were just following along for what they could get out of Jesus. But whenever he begins to lay out the cost of discipleship, if you're going to really follow after me, then you're going to have to take this seriously. And you're going to have to love me more than you do your family, more than you do yourself. You're going to have to be willing to really take this to a whole new level of commitment to Jesus Christ. And he says, if you don't, you can't be my disciple. You'll never move up. And in the church, really, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ gets a whole lot accomplished whenever people have moved up to the level of discipleship, where they are truly learning and growing and developing in the things of God. Amen. We would be really concerned, and rightly so, if you have a child. And I know I've been reading all these posts of mothers saying things like, I can't believe my little child was this high and now they're this tall. They're already graduating. I can't believe it's happening. I just wish for those days when they were little again. I understand what you're saying when you say that. But there's no way. We expect our children to grow up. And if they didn't grow up, we would be really concerned. Really concerned. I know how it feels, and I know that it hurts a little bit when they do grow up. But you would be very devastated if they didn't grow naturally and normally, if they didn't develop the way that they should naturally and normally. You would be concerned about it. And in the body of Christ, that's the way that it should be. We should be growing in the knowledge of the Lord. We shouldn't be making new levels of commitment to the Lord. And Jesus said, more important than your family, more important than yourself, I should be put in that position. I should be the object of your real love and commitment. Some of you have seen people send their children off to some far-off foreign mission field, and you've wondered, how in the world could they ever do that? They'd have to pray this kind of stuff through. They'd have to pray it through and say, Lord, I love you, and I love your kingdom, and I love souls even more than I love my wishes and my plans and what I wanted to happen in my family. So that was the first requirement. These are absolute requirements. And if you don't fulfill them, then he says, you'll never be a disciple. And if you want to become an apostle, and by that I mean you want to be someone that God sends to do his work, then you can never get to that level until you first of all are a disciple who are willing to lay it all down. Amen. Remember the man that was called to follow Jesus, and he said, well, wait, I want to come and I will follow you, but first let me go bury my father. He wasn't even sick yet. What he was saying was, give me time. Let me put this off till it's more convenient. I want to wait till I can get everything else taken care of. Let me wait until my father gets old and passes away and I can bury my family. Then I'll follow you. He wasn't intending to really follow the Lord. He wasn't intending to follow the Lord. He was intending to do what he wanted to do with his own life. If anyone comes to me and hates not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I wonder how many Christians ever get to that level. I wonder how many of us ever really, truly get to that level of learning and discipleship. But that's the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just for the 12. It wasn't just for those in that day. It's for today as well, for us to lay everything at his feet. Amen. Your love for the Lord has to be that strong, that committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the test that Abraham experienced? Finally has the son, Isaac, the child of promise, finally has God's promised son in his house. And then the Lord says, Abraham, take him into the land of Moriah and kill him, sacrifice him there. What a test of his commitment to God, his faith in God, his determination to please God. And thank God Abraham passed the test, that he was willing even to lay his own son's life down. My, what a level of commitment and dedication that we need to aspire to. Lord, help me to get to that place. And it's only as he gives you grace and strength that you can really move into this level of discipleship. Verse 27, then it says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We're pretty well preoccupied with self. We live in a society, a culture that's obsessed with self and selfies and all about what's going on with me in my life our lives are built around ourselves and what's important to us. And it's so opposite, it's so contrary to the thinking of the world to say, die to me, die to self, die out to what I want, to what I need, to what I think is important. But that is a second requirement that's found here in this chapter 14. Deny yourself, take up your cross. Take up your cross. It just means to forsake it, just forsake your life. To deny yourself is to forsake yourself, what you want, what you think is valuable and important, to disown it, to forfeit it, to totally disregard it, and put Jesus at the center. Amen. I think I need to go back to the school of discipleship. How about you? I think I need to go back and learn a little bit more from the Lord, because I put myself and I put other things as more important than the things of the Lord. He said, if you take up your cross, the cross is that place that you die. It's a place of crucifixion. It's a place that you lay your life down for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a call that Jesus gave. No wonder that the crowd thinned out. When all of those were there for self reasons, now he begins to thin the crowd out by giving them the call to discipleship. You know, a lot of people, they attend church, they associate with church, but they don't ever really step up to this level of commitment to Jesus Christ. It's serious business. If you want to be used of God, if you want to be someone that God can really use to make an impact upon our world, then you can commit yourself to the Lord at a whole new level, even dying out to yourself, to what you think is important. Amen. Praise God. It's not an easy calling, but it's the right calling. And if you want to be an apostle, if you want to be used of God to send forth the message of the gospel, then you're going to have to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to die to my preferences, to my wants, to my desires, and to lay it all down. And then he tells them to count the cost. He gives the illustrations there in the text, starting with verse 28. He gives the illustration of the tower being built and the battle being fought in both cases. It required that they stop, that they consider, that they evaluate the cost, evaluate what it's going to take to accomplish this. Someone said, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything that we have. Amen. So we don't get to that part very often. We like all the part about, enjoying the freedom that we have in Christ. But what about the call to discipleship? The call to discipleship requires us to lay it all down. Maybe in a few areas here, and I'll just mention two or three here. First of all, to a life that is free from sin, a holy life. We have been called to a life of purity and holiness, that we're not to be following in the steps of the ways of this world or the thinking of this world. The cost of discipleship is that you are willing to live a life that's pleasing to God instead of pleasing to yourself. Amen. Another area of the cost of discipleship is paying the price of whatever it might be. It might be friendships. It might be people. It may be the fact that you're going to be laughed, made fun of, mocked for some of the things that you do, maybe the way that you live, but you have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his calling and his purpose. And so you're not going to allow anything to distract you because you are willing. You've said yes to the Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. Praise God. Are there benefits? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So many wonderful benefits to the person that's willing to commit their life, their future, their everything into the hands of the Lord. Oh, the wonderful benefits that are ours through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God that when he calls us, that he has a higher purpose for us, and included in that will be wonderful, wonderful blessings that he will send our way. Praise God. Amen. A disciple is somebody that loves the word of God, that takes it in and takes it seriously and lives according to the word of the Lord. And when you're a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible, God's word, is going to be like food to you. It's going to sustain you and bless you and help you. God's word is such a wonderful blessing to us. The disciples also, that person that lives the Christian life at its fullest. There's some things that you'll never know or witness or experience until you're willing to follow the pathway of complete surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're half-hearted and have not truly committed yourself to him, there's some things you'll never experience. Some things you'll never, ever enjoy in your life. The disciple, every new day is a fresh opportunity to walk with God, to hear from God, to experience his power, to experience his presence in your life. Praise the Lord. No way that I could mention all the wonderful benefits that are ours by following in the steps of the Lord. But oh, they are so many and they are so wonderful. Praise God. Amen. To see his purpose, to see his direction, to see his will for your life being fulfilled and lived out. Nothing like that. Nothing that's any more precious and valuable than surrendering your life to the calling and the purpose of God. Amen. Are you a believer? Hopefully, yes, everybody here is. The real question is, have you stepped up to a level of discipleship that you have laid it all out before the Lord? Lord, nothing is more important to me. I'm willing to die out to my own personal wishes. I am willing to count the cost, no matter how much that it may require of me. I am willing. And when you say yes to the Lord, oh, how wonderful it is to enter in to that kind of fellowship and communion with the Lord. Amen. Our prayer should be that we, everyone that comes to the Lord, yes, we want people to be saved and born again and really, truly come to know Jesus. And then we want them to be able to be led into a life of commitment to the Lord, complete and entire devotion to him. Amen. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? You can be a disciple and not be an apostle, but you probably will be used of the Lord in an apostolic type ministry if you're a person that dedicates yourself to him, just like all the 12 did and others of the disciples then that were following Jesus. The Lord sent them out to carry the gospel everywhere that they went. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have called us not only to the cross, to salvation, but you've also called us, Lord, to a life of discipleship. And Lord, we want to obey your voice so that we can truly be your disciple, so we can be what you want us to be. And then, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, to call us and to equip us, to send us, Lord, then we're willing, Lord, to do whatever you ask us to do by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lead us, Lord, and help us to step up to a whole new level of commitment to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.